All right, welcome. Jeff Horvitz here. Happy to be here with you today after, well, nearly a two-week break, although I did, three or four shows? What did we do? Three or four? You did one. What did you do, like 1 hour?
I don't remember.
Angela's here with me today. Back at it, trying to save Western civilization from its own idiocy.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're succeeding at that. I feel like after 2 weeks of really tuning it out, I come back, it's just boom, same thing. It's like nothing.
Same, yeah.
Yeah. With you know, anytime you travel abroad, you see and hear some different news, very little that I did pay attention
while over there.
Like, but once in a while, I get a glimpse of the TV or something when you're at an airport or restaurant or some situation, right? And it's like, yeah, their attention, obviously, much more European-centric, obviously, right? But you don't even hear about a lot of this stuff over here. We're all kind of in our echo isolation chambers, I think, everywhere in the world. And my take on it, though, and judging by the mountain of news items that I've piled up to get to here today is, especially over in Europe, Western civilization, you know, is on the run a bit from its own idiocy, though, from people that, you know, just these kind of declines shouldn't be happening, but they are. And, you know, we're really good at it here, too. But the Europeans are exceptionally well at trying to destroy their own Western civilization, in my opinion. And I got some demographic information here that we'll get to during the program about how nobody's having babies anymore, especially the Western
especially
countries.
There, but even in Korea and other spots.
Oh, Korea's a death spiral. Yeah. It's like, you know, replacements.
Japan, too.
Replacements 2.1 or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Two. Let's just go with that, right?
No, I think Korea is less than
Korea's
one.
Korea's like, it's like 0.6 or something.
Yeah,
you know,
I think it's 0.6
per woman, right? Because, I mean, we still live in a world where women have babies, right?
Yeah.
I think that may be part of the problem, is they, maybe the birth rate is spiraling out of control because guys who just
are
pretending to be women,
this.
They think that they can have babies. So maybe that's part of the problem. But no, it's just
scary thought.
Yeah, it is a scary thought. But Korea and Japan, Italy, most of Western Europe, those countries are, the birth rates are very, 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 very low. Most cases below one. I think even the U.S. is like 1.6. But a lot of the Middle Eastern countries, the African nations, places like that, they still have a much higher birth rate. So a lot of the places that we would call the third world, you know, continue to have lots of babies. Not like they were, though. I was listening to a podcast earlier today. Not in the same numbers like they have been. It's really slowing down. In China, forget about it. Population is diving off a cliff.
Well, yeah.
A cliff. The demographics of China are very, very bad because of the one-child policy that's now
kicking in. Well, yeah, but then
in.
That's like caused a major problem now with not enough women to have the babies.
Exactly.
Because they had the one son and they stopped after that. And then now all the sons, they can't find wives.
Yeah, and then they had multiple decades later since they stopped that policy. They're trying to encourage, you know, nation after nation is trying to encourage women to have babies. But how do you do that? What
well,
can you do?
I just read recently that France is, you know, they've declared it, or all of a sudden they're finding out that, yeah, maybe we need to have more kids in France.
Yeah.
And
get to it.
So they're doing stuff like longer maternity leave, better health care, you know, just kind of, I guess, to maybe make it easier or make it more appealing for people that don't want to because I can't get the time off work or I don't have health insurance or, you know, I don't have money for daycare or whatever. So they're basically
incentivizing
for that reason.
Yeah.
Which isn't probably the right reason to do it, to have a kid. But I mean, I guess if that was what was preventing you, then maybe some will, but I don't think that
not
enough are going to change their mind. I think it's more of and in Korea too, because women have focused more on their careers and they've been more empowered in the last, I don't know, what do you think, 50 years or whatever?
Not just there, worldwide.
No, yeah.
And urbanized.
No, yeah. But when I was reading about Korea recently too, was that, they've been push to be focused on their careers, and kids get in the way of that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Kids don't slow you down in anything. Well, we wouldn't change it for the world. We're above replacement. We did three.
Yeah.
We did our part.
Yeah, I know. You
know? I mean, yeah, it's going to be hard to incentivize, and we'll get more to it in a little bit, because I find it fascinating, especially after traveling and not seeing little kids, and especially Italy and Greece. Mm-hmm. I was like, where are the kids? Is it just old people walking around, right? Mm-hmm. You can't incentivize, you know, it's going to be really hard, because it's a societal thing now to not have kids. And then, mm-hmm. you know, they're pounded in that a lot of people are pounded that from the corrupt education system that if I have a kid, I'm destroying the earth, because that's one more of this.
Or they're going to grow up with a really, you know, low quality of life. Lifestyle and all that.
Yeah. And by not having kids, though, and I'm getting way ahead of myself on this one, because I got a whole bunch of stuff I want to cover on this, but by not having kids, they're actually creating a demographic cliff that will make the life of the average person on the planet probably worse, because there ain't enough people for growth to service everything that needs to happen to, quite frankly, service and healthcare fields and other fields, all the old people, you know, because the population is aging. It's olding. It's aging tremendously. So you don't even have the workers to support that going forward. And that's Japan is facing that. I don't, you know, I guess we'll have robots. Maybe everybody will be lonely with their robot, their iRobot turning red and making you stay inside.
Robots aren't going to create money for Social Security and things like that.
No, there's no
Medicare.
Yeah. There's no positive impact there, because people have to spend. I guess robots maybe become self-aware, and then they'll start growing the economy. I don't know. Maybe that's that'll be interesting, right? All right. Love to hear from you. Comments, welcome. I got a few piled up here we'll get to in just a bit. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. You can also always leave a comment on the listener line. Just leave a message, and we'll work it in the show. 877-971-3971. I want to get to Trump, though, and the trial stuff that happened today, and the bond issues, and really one of the most corruption-laden things I've ever seen, which is the attempt to seize assets by these politicians on a case, in my opinion, that had no real victims, and they just made something up, and then, hey, you owe us, you owe the government, you know, $500 million now because we say so. This is scary Stalinistic type stuff. So coming home to that is concerning, to say the least. So Trump has 10 days to come up with $175 million, a bond for $175 million now. So earlier today, this morning, he was in court. This was like an appeals court. So he's starting to work up the chain of courts, hoping that this will eventually go to Supreme Court, I think. By that point, I mean, you know how long this all takes. So he'll either be president or not at that point. We'll be that far along. But remember, this was the so-called fraud ruling that the New York AG office did, because they said that he lied and committed fraud when it came to applying for loans for his businesses, for his real estate, right?
And he overestimated his assets.
This goes to tell you how worthless these politicians are. They're so stupid. I mean, they have no clue what they're talking about. They said that he overestimated, like Angela said, the net value of his assets. So take a big building, a skyscraper. I don't know if you've ever been. We've been at like Trump Tower and this and that in New York, right? And these are New York-based companies, which is a mistake nowadays. You do not register your company in New York or any of these blue states, as a matter of fact. Do not do that. But if you're there and you've got these buildings, you can't get out. You can't sell these things. All of a sudden, it takes years to sell.
It's a long
properties like
too.
This. Yeah, a commercial property can take years to sell. So, you know, he goes in years ago to get a loan, goes to a bank, says, I don't know what the amount was, but I need $100 million for this tower, whatever, Trump Tower, right? Yeah, and it's worth $500 million, so why not? I'm just making up these numbers, but just to give you an example. They say, okay, Mr. Trump, we've done tons of business with you, and we're a big bank. We know what we're doing. We're not like, you know, the corner, and I'm not saying credit unions don't know what they're doing, but we're not the corner credit union that's never done a commercial loan before or something, or you know, Bob's Lending Services. These are highly institutionalized banking organizations that know what they're doing, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. And they say, okay, we'll give you money. Well, you got to get an appraisal, though. They're going to order up an appraisal, which they did. They even said that they didn't feel defrauded at all. He paid back the money.
That's the crazy thing.
He paid back the money, right?
That's the crazy thing, because no one was complaining about it.
No one was complaining about it. There's no crime here. But they say he overvalued the assets in the estimates, but what does it matter? Because a lot of real estate people do this because they think it's worth a certain amount. That's why you have price discovery in the market. If you sell it, you put it out there, and Angela comes along and says, okay, Jeff, your tower is, you're asking $100 million. It's only worth 50. I'll give you 50. And you negotiate and you find that price point, right? Mm-hmm. Or you have a professional appraiser come in and they say, hey, based on other sales, other assets, you know, all these factors, we think it's actually worth $75 million. They did that. Mm-hmm. And yet these ding-dong politicians and this ding-dong judge, which is just a politician at this point, come up with the figure of $454 million to fine Trump for this victimless crime, right? $454 million, right? And then they add in the interest and fees and penalties per day because he didn't pay it off, you know, the next day, $111,000 per day in interest, fees, et cetera, right? So all of a sudden it's like ballooned to, I don't know, $500-$600 million, right? And today was the day where they were bringing him in saying, okay, you got to either pay it or come up with a bond saying you're going to back it up. You got the assets to back it up. And this company guarantees. So you put up a certain mm-hmm. amount of money. They guarantee you're going to make payment because they've looked at your financials and et cetera, et cetera. He couldn't find a company to do that. Apparently looked at lots of different companies and they didn't want
to do the bond.
Yeah. And I probably won't either because there's a political witch hunt going on. So when you get into that, when you're away from a normal situation where it's like, okay, this is Normalville, we're not concerned about political forces. As soon as you mix that in, they're probably like, this is too risky for mm-hmm. us because somebody can come in, they're going to attack you, and no, we're not going to touch this thing. So anyway, they wanted the money. And then there's a lot of critics out there saying, well, Trump says he values his assets at $10 billion. I've seen estimates on Forbes that maybe it's three, maybe it's four, maybe it's five. I've seen multiple estimates, right? Mm-hmm. Even if he was worth $10 billion, he doesn't have $600 million sitting in the corner.
I know, yeah.
This is the mistake
that people make. Yeah, a lot of people think that someone's net worth, like say, you know, Elon Musk or whoever, and they talk about how much this person's worth.
$200 trillion or a billion or whatever.
They don't have that money sitting in a bank account somewhere.
No.
And people think that, I mean, even, you know, your guy next door, you think, oh yeah, that guy is a millionaire or whatever. Yeah. Doesn't mean he has a million in the bank. He just has assets worth
$1 million,
which is not something you can just
It's illiquid generally.
Exactly.
And in Trump's case, it's very illiquid because it's not even a publicly traded stock. You might be able to argue to these nitwit politicians that, okay, publicly traded company, let's say an Elon Musk, and he gets fined a certain amount. Well, you've got, you know, $10 billion worth of Tesla stock. I'm just throwing out numbers here. So you could raise $10 billion tomorrow. Well, maybe in theory, but as soon as he tries to move $10 billion in stock, the stock price craters, mm-hmm. and then it's not mm-hmm. $10 billion, it's $9 billion or $8 billion, whatever. Yeah. But when you're talking real estate, like your neighbor, okay, some trip and fall accident lawyer comes in, right? And yeah, oh, I see on paper you're worth $2 million. Well, yeah, because the house in Flagstaff's worth $1.5 million, and I live in it.
Yeah.
I can't squeeze money out of it all of a sudden, right? So, of course, he couldn't come up with $500-$600 million, right? Because it's just not there. And I think they wanted to seize it because they don't care about the money. It's not like, oh, they're going to shift it to their, I don't think they are. They would never do that, right? They're mm-hmm. not going to shift it to their bank account or something. It's just, to them, it's just more government money. It's all play money. It's like they're playing mm-hmm. Monopoly with other people's money. They just wanted the political spectacle of Donald Trump's assets being seized. Mm-hmm. Picture a big padlock on there, whatever. Not mm-hmm. that would happen either. It would just transfer ownership to the state. They wanted to transfer his assets to the state more than anything else. Well, the judge stepped in the appeals court, put basically lowered the amount to $175 million bond in 10 days. So really a win for Trump because that's a much more reasonable number. He claims he's got about $500,000 sitting aside, which he was intending to use on the campaign and this and that, which I don't really believe because he did that in the early stages in 16 mm-hmm. and then he used other people's money, right? Once the campaign got rolling. So he can probably come up with the money now or at least get somebody to bond it and say, yeah, he's got the assets to cover this thing.
Right.
So it's a big win. The other win was appeals court also put a stay on barring Trump and his sons, Eric and Don Jr., from serving as officers in the companies. That was another thing they said. You can't serve in your own company in New York, right? Mm-hmm. So the appeals court also did that. So I don't know if you call any of this a victory for Trump, but a better situation right now than he was in just, you know, a few short hours ago.
Right.
We'll see what
happens.
This
morning or something. Yeah.
And I think about it. How old is Trump? 70. How old is Trump? 77 years old. 77 years old, and he's getting bombarded like this all the time from the state, from the government, from these politicians. I don't know how he holds up.
I know.
Right? I don't know how he holds up. Yeah. A guy that gets, you know, 4 hours of sleep or something.
That's what he claims, I think.
That's what he claims. You never know with him. And I mean, I'm having a trouble holding up. I have jet lag. I mean, I'm seeing all kinds of things. I'm hallucinating at this point. I mean, I feel like I've been out all weekend on this bender thing or something, right? And I didn't. I assure you, I just flew on a Boeing plane over here. So we'll talk about that.
Yeah, well, the funny thing safely. Is when I came back from Europe in January after, you know, getting Isabel all settled over there. And I came back. You were making fun of me.
What a wimp.
I know.
Yeah.
At yourself.
Now she's like an expert. She did it twice in 1 year.
No.
Twice last year.
Well, I never would have otherwise, but,
yeah,
you know, the circumstances were there.
We had a great time. Yeah, but I am a bit jet lagged, that time
we
change.
All are. Even Olivia and Isabel were up at 5:30 today. Olivia and
Owen. She doesn't even remember the names of her kids.
We're up at 5:30 and normally, like, they're like 6:15, 6:30. Yeah.
We're all up at 5:30 this morning looking at each other like, why are you people up? Leave me alone. I need some quiet time.
And then all of us were like, yeah, we've been awake for a while.
I was awake since 4:30. I was moving around. All right. Let's see. Another one that happened today is the UN passed a Gaza ceasefire resolution. So basically a, you know, worthless resolution, but political pressure and I guess pressure from the nations around the world to stop all actions going forward here in Gaza.
I'm curious why they did they do that with the Russia-Ukraine thing?
I think they did, but the more important question would be, did they do that with the Hamas did the attack against Israel, right? Mm-hmm. Did they do we want Hamas and terrorist organizations to stop attacking Israel and other nations. Did they do that? I don't recall that.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to look into that.
I don't remember. Yeah. I mean, they may have done a we support Israel resolution, but I bet you they didn't even do that. But did they do a, hey, Hamas, stop?
Yeah.
Right? But no, they want the UN passes, and what a useless organization. What an absolutely useless organization. Why do we put money into this? Why are we involved with this thing? Why? What? It does nothing for the U.S. anymore and just is a hindrance around the world at this point. But anyway, everybody's got to come together and have bureaucratic powwows and, you know, drive around in Mercedes just and third world nations,
jet
setting and all that. Yep. Not to be outdone, the Flagstaff City Council. Did you hear this one? They're going to move forward with a future agenda. They can't fix the pothole in front of the Aquaplex in my town, right? There's a big pothole
there.
I've been publicly talking about the dang pothole that sucks in a car. They can't fix things like that and many other things, but they're going to take up the time to move forward with a future agenda item to discuss. Okay, they haven't voted on yet, but they're going to discuss a resolution calling for a ceasefire in Gaza.
What a waste of time.
Your local government at work,
I mean,
folks.
That's just an amazing waste of time.
Yeah. Again, did they do a resolution against Hamas and saying Hamas should stop these attacks?
I don't know.
I want to see him, you know, fairly do this here at this point, right? Did they do that? No. But anyway, my hometown, I come home to roads that are a mess and problems galore and spending out of control.
Traffic snarls,
you name it. But no, they're going to send their resolution. If it passes, I bet you it will.
It will do absolutely nothing. What does that do besides
nothing.
Feel good to them?
Nothing. It appeases, I guess some people showed up, they spent an hour of time requesting this. This was a citizen thing where they send in and say, we want you to take up.
What is the point of doing it though?
Deal with your local government. That's what you need to, your local conditions, your local issues. Don't try to save the planet from global warming. Please stop. Don't try to weigh in on big items like international affairs and, you know, wars here and there. Yeah. Just don't do it.
Right.
That shouldn't.
Because do you really think that anyone in Israel or anyone or in the UN Hamas or DC or anyone, or
nobody cares?
Like, oh well, Flagstaff says they're Flagstaff, you know, dude, they made a resolution that we should have a ceasefire. So yeah, maybe we should do that.
They have some real clout, those Flagstaff City Council members. So you go have fun with that while we have real problems to deal with right here in our communities, and quite frankly, our nation as well.
Our country.
Our country should be focusing on the problems we have, as like I opened up with, you know, watching the decay of Western civilization because we do so many stupid things. The pork bill passed. I'm not talking about actual bacon or anything. Which, by the way, Europeans don't know what bacon is.
They call it bacon, and it is not bacon.
How many times I order, I'm like, finally, they got bacon, and it's a piece of ham. I'm like, that's Canadian bacon, dude. Get it right. And one or two places had actual bacon, I think.
It's not the Didn't same. Somebody, no, they don't cook it the same.
Yeah, it's why Maybe can't it's bacon, you figure? This is why Europe's been declining. They don't know how to do bacon. They don't even know what bacon is. Pork bill passes, but not that. We're going to force the Europeans to actually produce bacon and not ham. What do they call a ham sandwich? A bacon sandwich? Anyway, they love the pork. This was the second part of the spending bill. I dealt with the first one like when we left.
And yeah, you were saying that because they don't want the government shut down. They're just going to keep extending it.
Yeah, it was going to shut down like Friday or Saturday had they not done this and saved us, you know, from no government for a weekend or something like anyone cares or matters. But it's loaded with pork. It was 1.2 trillion on top of the other spending bill that they did. This is the only thing they have left that they have control over because they've relegated all control basically to the bureaucratic state. So they control like 25-30% of the actual budget now. All the rest is auto spend. Mm-hmm. It's like they went online back in like 1990 something. When auto pay online was first set up, and they just set it and they burned the passcode and they can now never change it. They're just spending. I got an example here of why it's never going to change because even there was a number of Republicans. There was a ton, like 100 Republicans or something that voted against it, something like that. But tons of Republicans are still going to vote for all the spending because they like to bring the bacon home. Not the Canadian bacon, but the actual money. They like to bring it home and then send out emails and go to their constituents and say, see, I brought home money back home to the district. And Republican Juan Ciscomani here in Arizona is a perfect example. It wasn't 8 seconds that this thing was passed. And he's like, I secured $26 million for Arizona District 6, right? Including town of Pima Volunteer Fire Station getting rebuilt with $2 million in fed tax dollars. The city of Tucson's getting $3.5 million for water treatment, on and on. So here's the deal. Why the heck are we using federal money? Look, I don't know what's going on in Pima County and their volunteer fire station. I don't know what their facility looks like, if they're working out of a trailer or whatnot, right? Isn't that a
usually
local?
That's property
taxes. That's a local issue. Why are we using Fed dollars for this? And then he's touting, oh, I brought this home to build Pima County a fire station, right? And the city of Tucson's getting $3.5 million for water treatment. They don't got their own money. Tucson has been a Democrat stronghold forever. So is Pima County, right? Mm-hmm. They don't have the money for their own water treatment locally. What are the local taxes going to? Yeah. Probably a bunch of crap.
Well,
they're probably saving the world from global warming or whatever crap they're doing
this
week. They're
putting in their solar chargers or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Pay for your own dang water treatment. This should be local stuff. But Juan Ciscomani, He's a typical Republican
it's
nowadays.
It's all about getting reelected.
He's in a tight district, so he's got to try to appeal to, you know, those more left-leaning voters down there. So, hey, he's got to bring home the bacon, right? He goes on to say, my top priority was to keep the government working for the American people while striving for a responsible budget. Come on, dude.
Nothing responsible about that at all.
That funds Arizona priorities instead of government waste. Oh, my gosh. This guy was deep in the Ducey administration, by the way, so that should tell you something. Both funding packages were a product of a divided government. While it didn't include every provision we wanted, the bill fulfills the most important role the government has, which is to protect its citizens. You know, you're doing a great job of that at the southern border. Good job. Keep up the good work. With this package, our federal government stays open and operating for our constituents, supports our troops, and provides for a strong national defense strategy, and loves puppies. Well, I added that last part, but right? Unbelievable.
Yeah, with this package, the government stays open and operating, supports our troops, and provides for a strong national defense.
Yeah.
But what does the water treatment and the volunteer fire station have to do with that?
Yeah, that was just a few items I picked out. I mean, it's loaded with pork. Anyway, there you go. The only good thing is, I will point out something good. Congressional Diversity and Inclusion Office was shut down by the one point. There was things in there that they were able to pack in. Yeah, so, okay, there were good things in there, but it's like, let's throw 50 bad things and then take away one.
Yeah, they cut 1.2. Oh, is that trillion?
That's what they said. Yeah, you know, it's a $1.2 trillion dollar
funding package.
The Office of Diversity and Inclusion.
How much did they
cut
doing that?
Yeah, $83. Yeah. No, it's probably a few hundred thousand dollars, right? An insane policy. it's like they didn't cut anything, but it is a good sign. And then apparently buried in there was you can't fly the rainbow flag, the LGBT flag in foreign embassies around the world, which personally, I don't care what you fly at your house, do what you want. Okay. But let's just fly the American flag at American embassies and stop flying every other statement flag, because you might be in an embassy where they look at that and a lot of the world doesn't have the same views as these politicians want them to have. They'll be like, yeah, what is that?
Yeah.
We are back in the studio in Flagstaff after 2 weeks traveling abroad. And I can tell you one thing. Some countries, a lot of countries do not have the plumbing standards of America.
Yes.
I can tell right away.
I can think of three we recently went to.
All three, right? We did Italy, Greece, and Turkey, right? With a quick layover in London, real quick on the way back. Wow. London Heathrow is like a third world airport. Let me tell you, the only thing that was lacking was chickens running around. Right?
And a dirt runway.
I mean, how is that the hub at this point? It's embarrassing.
Yeah, it's so
old. And British Airways.
It's all spread out so far.
It's so bad. And it was like 1952 was the last renovation. You know, 1952, that would have been, who was the prime minister from World War II? He got back in office the second time. Churchill. He was there. Christening the airport, right?
I thought Heathrow was the new airport, though.
Nah, that thing's a dog, man.
What's the new one?
I don't know. That's new. So 1952. Now, Turkey had a new airport, new modern airport. That blew that thing away.
The only problem with those is they put them out in the middle of nowhere, and it takes you an hour to get anywhere.
Yeah. We'll probably take you that from Heathrow, too. That's pretty far out, isn't it?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That one.
Yeah, it's new 1952 or something.
Yeah, Athens one, too.
And British Airways, like the pride of the empire. What a dog that thing is.
Oh, yeah, the airline.
We flew like five different airlines. That one was the biggest dog. I mean, really? They come around and they give you a little like half bottle of water, right?
A little mini bottle.
And
a little
cracker.
For a four-hour flight.
For a four-hour flight from Greece to Britain, which is an international flight, right? And the British used to be great. They'd come out and serve you a meal and white gloves and
tea.
At least give me some tea.
I mean,
tea.
Come on.
Britain. Tea.
Yeah, you know that your tea.
Yeah, this was the most dog of an airline I flew on out of all the other ones. Turkish was one of the best. They actually, hour and a half flight. They served a full meal. An hour and a half. Remember when they used to do that here in America? Like domestic flights, you'd get like at least a sandwich or a Twinkie or something, right?
Yeah.
British Airways, half bottle of water and a cracker. And then they had the nerve to come around, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sell at outrageous prices food, right?
Yeah.
You're like, okay, I'm not getting anything. I'm drinking my half bottle of water and I'm going to like it, right? I'm not giving you a dime, right? Then as we're landing, they like pass around a box for like poor kids in third world countries, right? Which is okay. That's noble, right?
Box,
And I'm like, why don't you take some of the thousands of dollars you just bilked out of everyone to get a drink on your flight.
To get a lousy
and
cup
donate
of coffee.
That. You have the nerve to ask me for money. You have to sell your drink money, man.
Charge me £3, which is equivalent to what, $4 or $5 for a lousy cup of coffee airline. And then ask me for money to donate to, I don't even know what charity it was.
I don't know what they were doing. And I was like, are you for real? You're literally sending a box around trying to get money for kids in, you know, India or something. I don't know where it was, right? Pakistan.
Well, the funny thing was before we went on this, Olivia was asking what airlines we were flying around because we did take some, you know, little side trips. And the one on Turkish Airlines, you know, I was kind of saying, you know what? It might be surprisingly good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in fact, it was. That was one of the better flights we had. It was like 2.5 hours, I want to say, from Venice to Istanbul.
Yeah.
Full meal.
Full meal.
Full meal. Like an omelet and, I don't know, yogurt or fruit or something like that.
Yeah.
It was like a full meal in a 2.5 hour flight, including coffee.
Yeah. And the service was nice. I mean, sometimes these countries that are... you know, trying to develop a little more, or they put it into their airlines. I hear like if you take some Middle Eastern airlines, they're like plush because it's kind of like their symbol of pride, like British Airways, you see. Now, we took British from Phoenix to London. That was a direct flight. And they serve meals
that
on that.
Okay.
But they have like beans and stuff. It's like breakfast. And there's like, I was like, this is weird. But that's Britain. I mean, you don't go there for.
Well, it's just their food.
Yeah, they just got that. But yeah, what that Europe ride. Yeah, try to avoid British if you can. That'd be my opinion.
And they were late.
Yeah, and they were late.
I just think like, it was weather.
I'm sorry.
But
like,
still.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah. You were talking about the plumbing in other countries. I don't think you got very far on that.
Oh, yeah, because I went off on my British Airways tangent. The plumbing sucks.
Yeah.
They don't understand
the
plumbing.
The bathrooms get soaked from the shower.
Yeah, it's like, oh, we got this great marble bathroom, but we don't have a shower curtain.
Yeah.
And they don't know what caulk is and silicone and things.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you can't just that... joint that butts up the marble to marble. It's great that you can use so much marble in Europe and stuff like that, right? It's actually fine craftsmanship that they do in a lot of places, right? But you got to put a bead of silicone or caulk there or something to stop the water from going behind
and
rotting
away. There's no shower curtain or
there's water everywhere
door, then the water gets everywhere.
You could always tell countries that aren't going to lead the way anytime soon by their plumbing. And okay, I love Turkey, by the way. We had a great time there. I'm not moving there anytime soon, but
that went
it was
surprisingly
well. It was a cool place.
Yeah.
It was a cool place. I don't know about
I think we were all kind of like, you know, we didn't know what to expect. We'd never been there before.
Yeah. No, it was great.
And especially the kids are like, what's in Turkey again? Like, why are we going there?
Constantinople.
But we actually really enjoyed it. I think all five of us did.
I'm surprised they let me out. I keep calling Istanbul Constantinople, which it should be. It should be Constantinople. You know, they shouldn't have renamed it. Shame on them. Anyway, I tell the people in Turkey, beautiful, like five-star type hotel. It was great. Turkish bath underneath. I mean, and affordable, you know, what you'd pay here for, you know, it costs you a fortune here, right? But there's an odor emanating from the... floor.
Yeah, I thought it was smoke, like someone had smoked in
I
the
thought
room.
It was that they had like a wooden floor thing for the shower, the big this big weird thing, right? Beautiful craftsmanship, like I said, but I thought it was like mildew. And he opened up, he goes, well, Istanbul, plumbing comes up, you know, odors of Istanbul.
That's
it's
just
Istanbul.
The smell of Istanbul.
It's just the smell of Istanbul, he told me, right? I was like, yeah, but why don't you have a trap? So this is a little pipe that's curved and the water traps in it, right? I don't know if you all know plumbing.
It also traps the odor from coming out.
So, like, I ask Olivia, I said, hey, what's the trap for? She goes, well, when I drop my ring down the sink or my earring, right?
Yeah.
And you can open up that little curved pipe underneath, like your sink, for example. And then it holds everything in there.
And you have to unclog my hair sometimes.
Yeah. Great. So, I love doing that. I remember when we got married, it was like, it was in the vows, right? Anyway.
It's like once a year. What's the big deal?
Twice a year. The big deal is I got to do it, but I love doing it. Anyway, the trap, it's really, it creates a vapor lock there. Water.
Water
stays in there.
The
water goes down. When you run in the thing, it pushes up the water and goes down into the sewage system. But it also leaves some water in the little U, right? So no odors can come up through that.
Right.
And I couldn't explain it to the guy because he barely knew English and he's speaking Turkish. And I'm like, I'm not going to get this through. But seriously, this is nothing new. It's trap. They sell them at home. Do you have a Home Depot? I don't know if they did. They sell them at Home Depot for like $5.50 for the whole kit. in lira, that's like 5,000 lira or something. But I'm like, go get a trap in here so the odors don't come up. So you can always tell countries that you're like, and don't drink the water, right?
Oh, yeah.
Signs everywhere, don't drink the water. Yeah. It's like, how can you not? Other than that, Turkey is great, but can't drink the water and odors come up from the
sewer
system.
Well, we knew about the water going in.
Yeah.
But,
all right. Speaking of foreign countries in both Europe and Asia, Russia had this attack this past weekend. I guess it was some kind of concert venue, and I think it was one of their biggest malls or something like that, or big, big commercial venue. The attack killed at least 137 people. Last I checked, including 3 children, injured 182 others. At least 101 of the victims were being treated in hospitals on Sunday, Russian officials said. All of a sudden, there was talk of, oh, ISIS did this. And I was kind of surprised by that. I was like, ISIS is still, they're targeting Moscow. ISIS is still, this is still a thing. I mean, I was having flashbacks to like post 9/11, 2002, 2003. Remember like the terror alert levels and all that. And look, I don't know what happened, but I can tell you whatever's coming out of the Russian government is probably inaccurate, but I can also tell you whatever's coming out of the U.S. government is probably inaccurate, with laden with propaganda on both both sides. What I do worry about here is Putin is now in a position that he's going to feel like he has to escalate, because he's blaming it on Ukraine, of course, right? I don't know what's there. I don't know who did it. Like I said. But he now has a country that's probably, he can easily, whether it was the case or not, he can easily convince and get them pumped up and juiced up to continue. I see no end in sight for what's going on in Ukraine and the Russia-Ukraine war. I saw a lot about what's going on with France, Germany, Poland, and you know, they're sending a lot of material to Ukraine. But a lot of talk, especially from France, from Macron, who's, I don't know, probably never done anything but be a politician in his life, right? You go into trenches first over there. But really talking up the possibility, Germany less so, but France especially, troops to Russia. To Ukraine. Because how much money and material can you send to Ukraine? How many, and I've heard some numbers, and they're astounding. How many men of fighting age have been killed in Ukraine? Who's going to man these systems,
right?
And fire the guns? It's going to come to a point here, if this continues to drag on, there ain't going to be enough bodies left to do this at this point. The numbers are astounding of how many dead there probably are on both sides, but particularly on the Ukrainian side. It's a meat grinder. It's reminiscent of World War One. Warfare, trench war, literally trench.
I haven't seen
any
of those numbers. I'm going to have to look that up.
No, I've seen it in the hundreds of thousands.
Really?
It's staggering. You don't know, because you're getting stuff from Russia. You're getting stuff from the U.S., from CIA.
I had no idea it was that big.
It's astounding how many. I mean, it has literally been compared to, and let's look it up at the break, because I don't want to misquote, but it's an astounding number of people that they estimate have died. It's like a meat grinder with trench warfare going on and all this and that, right? And my point being is, how long do we go until these nations like France and others have to send bodies, because there isn't the bodies to fight against Russia? It's just going to keep going. And now with the Moscow thing, they're going to have more ammunition, politically speaking. Putin's going to, he's going to have the country rally behind him, because he's going to, whether or not it came from, wherever it came from, he's going to point it towards Ukraine.
Yeah.
And, you know, they captured the alleged people that did this near the Ukraine border, they claim. And, you know, who the heck knows, though? But you can see how he's going to paint it. He's a master at this stuff. He's a master at this stuff. He's not a moron like Biden. Whether good or bad, he's not a moron like Biden. And he's done a lot of bad. But, yeah, that's what I worry about, in this thing escalating even more in this case. So glad we didn't get on the wrong ferry in Istanbul, right?
I know.
The one that went to Odessa.
That's when my brother sent me a text. He's like, it's good you're on the southern side of the Black Sea and not the northern side. Yeah,
I mean, we're right. Go through the Bosphorus. You're right there in the Black Sea.
Yeah.
You know, so not too far from everything going on. We flew Boeing.
Yep. After we got off 2 days ago,
after we got off, you know, crappy British air there, and we our flight from Phoenix London to Phoenix, which we just made, we almost missed it, and we had prime seats.
Yeah,
we had Angela was able to get
we booked it really far in advance, and I wanted the best seats we could have, just like anyone else.
Yeah, minus paying for business class or first class or anything other than steerage.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, we needed a coach. You know, the economy
coach, baby. Oh, is that what they call it?
Non-refundable
economy
ticket. Okay, because I had to buy four of them, and they're not cheap. You know, a lot of other times we save up airline miles for a trip like this, but this one we didn't.
A trip got out of hand, but anyway.
Yeah, I got the bulkhead seats four in a row in the middle of the plane. Four, you know.
Legs up on the bulkhead wall.
Yeah, there was no one in front of us.
It was better than first class, or at least
it worked out good.
First class has those sleeper things. I finally found the sleeper things. They always showed them in the pictures. Mm-hmm. First flight I ever took where they had, like, the whole front of the plane was those things that recline.
Yeah.
They're $5,000 a piece minimum.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know. Can you just buy two seats and coach?
Yeah.
You know?
And just,
I mean, 5,000 piece, we're like,
well, you can't really recline then, but.
Yeah, no. It's a huge difference.
Anyway, I got the bulkhead seats four in a row in the middle of the plane.
Yeah.
And those get scapped up real quick. So it was a good thing.
Oh, people are looking at us like envious.
Oh, yeah. They were walking by like, oh, how'd they get those?
But yeah. And I was just like a total snob.
No one in front of us.
Yeah. But anyway,
it did work out.
Yeah. No, it was good. It was
good. For that flight.
And it was a Boeing 777.
It's a 10-hour flight. So you have 10 and a half or so.
That was the only Boeing we took this whole thing. All the others were Airbus. Was I sitting there worried? No, not really. I mean, once in a while.
Oh, I was when we were taking off.
Yeah, it was like
there was really bad wind in London going on.
Yeah,
and the whole thing is shaking and rattling, and I'm like, oh no, we're in a Boeing.
And it's sad. This is like Britain, with British Air. It used to be like kind of the emblem of the empire there, right?
Yeah.
This is Boeing. It's like American strength, American ingenuity, and you're like,
shh. We weren't on the ones that had crashed in the last 5
years.
But those both happened during the takeoff.
No, Boeing 777, before we left, there was an incident somewhere in the U.S. where something flew off. Look that up. I think it was in Houston.
And the
door was a 737.
The landing gear.
Yeah, there was a 777 incident, too.
I didn't tell you about the ones that crashed and, like, killed all the passengers.
Oh, yeah. No, it was 737.
There was one in 2018, yeah, one in 2019.
Okay. So, and a good documentary on this is on Netflix. I think it's the Downfall of Boeing, it was called. Mm-hmm. And you should watch that one
because
they go over the two crashes of the 737 MAX.
Right.
Which
Max
was 8,
like
a MAX 8, I believe. Now they're doing
those
the MAX 9s.
Those both happened, like, within 10 to 15 minutes after takeoff.
Yeah. What they did was they put software in there to account for the massive engines they stuck to retrofit this old design, basically. And the engines would, I can't remember if it's point the nose down or point the nose up. It'd create a stall situation.
Well, when it was taking off and the nose was going higher, it would indicate that it's going to stall, and then it would try and correct that when there was really nothing wrong.
But the software corrected, and the pilots didn't know that because Boeing cut some corners and they would try to caused two crashes. But now recently you had the door blown out in an Alaska flight.
And then the last one was a landing gear.
I thought that was okay. I don't know what model that was. I thought it was a 777 because that's why I was a little sketchy. I was like, I hope our landing gear doesn't fall off. But we know it's a 737. The 777 we're in was older, though. I could tell it was a little bit of an older model, so I felt a little better. I'd rather fly in an old Boeing than a new Boeing, right? But this is not good. No bueno. You know, everybody on that plane's thinking the same thing, or the wing's going to fall off or something, because Boeing, you know, went woke, and Boeing was more concerned with 3-month profit reports than putting out the best, safest product. They had such a stellar, spectacular safety record for so long, right? Owen was saying
the March 8th, which was the day we were leaving, was 737.
Oh, 737.
737 MAX suffers gear collapse after landing.
Okay, all right.
That was what happened in Houston.
Do I know? I mean,
that was literally the day we left for Greece. Yeah.
Okay. So today, the Boeing CEO said he's going to step down, as he should. At the end of the year. It should go now. I mean, this company is, look, if these are horrible accidents that have happened already, especially the two foreign ones that happened on 737 MAX, I think it was the MAX 8s, right? Mm-hmm. These are hundreds of people dead.
Yeah.
Right?
All of them.
Yeah.
Both All the entire plane.
If something happens in the U.S., it has to happen in the U.S. because anything outside the U.S. is like, oh, yeah, no, that's just pilot error or something, right? I mean, people don't, it doesn't have the same impact.
Yeah.
My prediction, though, is if they don't fix it quick and go through these planes probably and figure out
what's wrong, a lot of those.
They have. If they have an incident where there is loss of life, Boeing's done. Yeah. I mean, it'd probably never be done because the government will backstop it, right?
Maybe.
Yeah. But Boeing is that close to just being that.
Well, and they're
about to be Sears.
Yeah.
Right? Or Kmart or something.
They're also losing the commercial airline division head or whatever that is.
Yeah.
And the board of directors president.
Board of directors chairman is not going to rerun. So basically, as one commentator put it today, leadership has been decapitated.
Mm-hmm.
In Boeing, it's bad then.
Well, they need to figure something out because
they better figure it out.
People are going to stop flying.
They're going to say, I don't want to fly on that. Yeah. And I was looking, I was like, yeah, I don't, if it says 737,
yeah.
And it's probably fine for the most part, but you don't know.
Yeah.
And what the hell happened to Boeing? And, you know, I got to get in touch with Bruce. He's the aviation expert. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Get him on to try. What happened? Bruce, if you're listening, what happened to Boeing? How did this happen? I think a lot of it has to do with worrying about the 3-month profit report. You know, when it comes to shares and things like that and stockholder mm-hmm. reports. And it's really sad what's happened there.
Yeah.
Anyway, we made it. We're good to go. Let's wrap it back around to the population decline. Angela and I started off the show. No kids over in Italy. No kids over in Greece. Turkey had a lot of young people, Muslim country. You're seeing growth in those countries, Middle East countries, and Africa. But the rest of the Western world, including, and I would include China and Japan, Korea, in that Western world conversation, massive declines in population. So who's going to pay for all of this debt going forward? There won't be enough people to do it. Now, the UN has come out and has listened to a podcast earlier today. UN has come out and said, oh, we're going to be at 11 billion by, oh, I think it was 2100 or whatever the year they came up with. They've drawn back. They've come back down to like, I think it was 9 billion or something like, or I'm sorry, like 10 billion. So they continue to revise their population growth. Population is slowing down in the world, except for some African nations, Middle Eastern countries, things like that. But even those are starting to slow down. We passed what, the $8 billion mark here, or not 8 billion, 8 billion person mark recently. And, you know, all expectations are we're going to get to 9 billion. I don't know if we're going to make it there because the numbers are drastically slowing down and the baby boomers are getting old. So all of this debt, baby boomers are in, you know, 70s, 80s, and all of those folks need massive amounts of support when it comes to medical. You know, you need a lot of workers to support them. There's just not enough people there. So we got a heck of a problem to deal with when it comes to the demographics going forward. And I don't see how we get out of this other than work through it. And, you know, maybe by the 2050s, people will start having babies again. I don't know. Fertility rates are way down in the world as well. I was reading an article on one of the plane rides that global fertility rates still way down. But with all that, I do want to say this and wrap this up about our trip over to Europe. I am still actually, and it's been a while since I've traveled over in Europe, you know, and it's been a while since we went to Asia there in Turkey, at least went across the Bosphorus and tipped our toe into Asia. I've been to Southeast Asia and places like that, been to North Africa, been to Egypt. But it's been a while since I've taken a big trip like this. I will tell you that anytime I return to the U.S., I'm still bullish on the U.S. overall. Now, it doesn't mean we don't have a massive amount of problems and we're not about to come unglued and fall apart. But compared to the most areas of the world, we got it so dang good here. Like I said, the plumbing doesn't stink generally if you do it right and you just follow basic plumbing standards. They don't even know about it over there. It's like, what's a trap, you know? At least in Turkey, right? We've got it so much better here than so much of the rest of the world. We don't want to blow it. We're in the process of blowing it. And the West is in the process of blowing it. We can't let that happen because somebody will come in, they'll fill the vacuum, but it may not be filled with anything that's very good. But traveling overseas, like we just did, I'm definitely bullish on America in the long term. if we can just get our you-know-what together, because we have so much going for us here in this country, and if we just follow the Constitution, and if we just follow, which we're not, and we should be, free market capitalism, you know, entrepreneurship, things like that, private property rights. If we would just do all that and continue to do that and get back on track, there's no stopping us compared to other countries. It's just phenomenal what we've got here, but it's also depressing to come back and see how we quickly are trying to ruin it. And there's actively people out there actually trying to ruin it within our population, and people coming in from abroad that are trying to screw it up as well. But people who are actively here that think we owe something to the rest of the world, and so we've got to devalue and diminish our standards of living. No, I say they should all go live somewhere overseas for a long time and see how good we actually have it. And don't rely on the income coming from the U.S. at the same time. Go live overseas for a while and see how good we got it here, and don't screw it up. Mark Howitt will be here with me tomorrow. Are there troubling signs in the construction industry and in that market? He's very well involved with that, so we'll discuss that. Plus, all the latest, we'll get you caught up. And I didn't get to comments today, but I will tomorrow. I've got several piled up, so if you've put in comments, look for those tomorrow. I'll share those with Mark, and we'll get to those. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Hope you all have a great, safe night. Back here tomorrow, hopefully not jet-lagged. Take care. See you soon. The information provided on the Jeff Horvitz Show does not constitute legal, medical, financial, or tax advice. All information is the opinions of the host and guests. You should always seek the advice of a professional regarding any of these complex issues to make sure all circumstances of your situation are properly considered. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.